You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I'm very pleased to be joined with one of the foremost Southern Baptist leaders and voices in the country, across the world today. I'm talking about Dr. Albert Moeller, who serves as president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Dr. Moeller, welcome to the broadcast.
Brian, it's great to be with you and with Oklahoma Baptists.
Well, thank you for your leadership in so many different areas with your books, articles, sermons. You've really equipped the church to be salt and light in the world today. We are increasingly confronted with this issue of sexuality, cultural issues, same-sex marriage. And I wanted to ask you some questions as it relates to that, beginning with thinking about homosexuality in the church. What are some ways the church can respond with grace and with truth?
Well, you know, Brian, that's a great question. I think one of the first things we need to remember is that in the biblical worldview, grace and truth are always combined. You really can't have one without the other. And so if it's really true, then in its own and uniquely truthful way, it'll be gracious. And if it's genuinely gracious, that is filled with grace, it'll also be truth. Even as we are told in the prologue to John's gospel, we beheld his glory. Glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth are united in Christ, and they must be united in Christians as well. And, you know, what that comes down to in many cases is being certain that our motivation for telling the truth is because we love people. And before we love people, we love the Creator God who made them and made them in his image. And that means that when we speak the truth, we speak the truth genuinely in love. And that does not just mean some kind of subjective sentimentality. It means that our ambition for speaking the truth is not to use the truth as a weapon, but rather to extend grace, the grace that is defined by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every truth we know is a truth that bends its knee to the reality that it comes from Christ. And so in the gracious name of Jesus, we speak that very truth that Jesus has given to his disciples.
Amen. I love how you encourage us to start with our focus on God the Creator, on the person of Jesus Christ, and his love that we should embody of people. You know, thinking about this issue of, say, homosexuality, it really comes down to people. You've pointed out in some sermons that there's been a very rapid rise internationally of acceptance of same-sex marriage, with now some 37 states having some kind of access to it in across the union. And thinking about the impending Supreme Court decision related to this, what do you see across the horizon, and how should churches be prepared and responsive in loving ways?
Well, you know, what we're looking at is a moral revolution that is coming at a faster velocity than anything that really has any parallel in human experience or human history that we can trace. Because we're looking at something that was universally condemned as recently as, say, 20 years ago, and where the vast majority of people, even in Western societies 20 years ago, thought that something like same-sex marriage was unthinkable. And we've gone in less than half a generation to where over 70% of Americans now live where same-sex marriage is legal, usually by court action, we should know, and where at least some thin majority of Americans now say, as this moral revolution has progressed, that it ought to be legal. And so we're looking at a moral revolution in which, as one observer has pointed out, we have the complete reversal. It's not just a shift. It's not just a change in direction. It's a 180 turn on the part of the society. And those of us who hold to a biblical standard of sexual morality, we now find ourselves nationwide, and in terms of Western society, considered those who are out of step with the society now, not to mention the future. So churches have to understand that we really do hold to a biblical standard of sexual morality, and we really do for two reasons. First of all, because that standard of sexual morality is revealed in the Scripture, which means it's not only God's law, it's also God's perfect plan for us. And secondly, because we love people, and we genuinely believe that the normalization of what the Bible calls sin and the legalization of same-sex marriage will not lead to greater human happiness, but rather to unhappiness. So it's love of God and love of neighbor that compel us to hold true to everything the Scripture commands.
Is there a way to take on the right attitude when it comes to engaging with our neighbors on this issue. You know, we want to, of course, not change our position or tamper with God's word, but is there some sort of attitude adjustment or frame of mind that would be helpful for Christians to have as we dialogue about these, as we serve people?
You know, that's a massive issue, and it points to something we need to recognize. Our moral reflex is so often mere moralism. That means that that insofar as there have been many Christians who've engaged the culture on this, the one-word summary of their message would be behave. Hmm. We're supposed to be the people who know that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone each one to his own way. In other words, none of us behaves. All of us are sinners. And so, you know, to get right to your point, we've got to get over the idea that we're speaking as moral superiors, because that is our moral reflex. We want to act like we're speaking from a position of greater moral status than those to whom we're speaking. And the reality is, thanks be to God, we're not all involved in all that the Bible calls sin, but we're not speaking as those who have no sin. And, you know, we're not speaking as those who are not equally in need of the forgiveness and the mercy of God that's given to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so an attitude adjustment is first clear. We are not speaking to the culture as those who do not know sin and do not need Christ and did not need redemption. We're speaking as those who know, by God's grace, the only way of salvation, which is through faith and repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Christ.
Thank you for that point and reflection and for reminding us of the gospel and its true power of saving. If the church is to, say, take the plank out of our eye, whether it be how we might have made friends with certain sins, that casual divorce or cohabitation or pornography, what are some areas in this area of sexuality that we really need to tend to our own matters and really seek the Lord in repentance?
You know, I think the answer to that, honestly, is everything. Because every sexual sin that you could possibly imagine is going to be represented somewhere where someone is within the circle of the church. Someone's a member of the congregation. Someone is struggling with this. And, you know, that leads to a very important issue. We've often spoken about these issues as if they were outside our walls, when the reality is in any church of any size, there's some person struggling with same-sex attraction in that church right now. There is someone struggling with pornography, probably several, right now. You know, just about everyone had, in some form or another, has struggled with lust, or at least with a wrongly directed sexual desire. And so we need to start out by saying, look, we are not speaking as those who are sexually whole, speaking to those who are sexually broken. We're speaking to those who, because of the fall, are all, to some degree, and thankfully not all of us know the sexual sins that the Bible condemns, but that doesn't mean we're not a sexual sinner in terms of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, where he said it's not enough not to commit adultery. It's you've committed adultery in your heart the moment that you have had a misdirected sexual desire. So I hope that makes sense in order to say, you know, a bit of honesty is to say that inside the church, there are people who are struggling with everything. Now, thanks be to God, the church, as the body of Christ, has the resources to deal with that. We have the Bible that tells us what God's plan is for us and God's purpose was for sex. We have the law that reminds us of the boundaries that God has put around human sexuality so that we don't hurt ourselves and rob him of his glory. And we have the body of Christ together, as the New Testament says, exhorting one another to holiness. And so, you know, we need to start understanding that we're not just talking about the world out there, we're talking about the world in here. And we start here, even as we do bear witness to the world.
Amen, Dr. Moeller. And I think through your leadership and transparency and honesty, really, to admit our own faults and proclivity to sin, it's built some bridges in the dialogue and conversation across the country. You'll be coming to Oklahoma next month, March 9th and 10th. The BGCO is hosting a special conference at Quail Springs Baptist Church called The Gospel, Sexuality in the Church, Equipping the Church to Respond to Sexual Issues with Convictional Kindness. You'll be appearing on some panels, presenting a sermon, and for every pastor and attendee who might come and hear you speak and share your heart to this issue, what is the one message or overarching message you would want them to know you want to bring to the state of Oklahoma?
Well, you know, in terms of this conference, I'm so glad that Oklahoma Baptists are doing. I would say the one word that I would share is urgency. There is an enormous urgency in this. We're standing on the precipice of a vast cultural change that's taking place in matters of hours and days and weeks, not just in matters of centuries and even decades. And so now's the time for Christians who stand under the authority of Scripture and under the Lordship of Christ to get together to remind ourselves of what the Scripture teaches and to get ourselves ready for the kind of redemptive, relevant gospel ministry we're called to in this generation. Because if we don't think these things through urgently, we're going to lose any credibility with the world.
Amen. Well, people can go online to www.bgco.org to see the full schedule, to register, and get equipped for that time just next month coming up. And we really look forward to you being here. I just had one more question. If you could think ahead to the months and years and sort of, I wouldn't say so much a prediction about the Supreme Court specifically, but do you see some looming issues on the horizon connected to all this that the church can be prayerful about, that we could prepare and brace for the current issues, but maybe the next phase?
You know, with the anticipation that the court's going to rule by the last weekday in June of this year, it's almost as if we have an announcement of a vast revolution that is almost now assuredly coming. I mean, even the statement that was made in recent days by Justice Thomas in the Alabama case, making very clear, as Justice Thomas himself said, the court's already signaling the direction it's going here. Then we had better get ready for the religious liberty challenges that are coming. And they're going to be real in Oklahoma. They're going to be real in Texas and Alabama. They're going to be real in Maine and Seattle. They're going to be everywhere. And recent headlines indicate just how dangerous some of this terrain is going to be. And Christians are called to faithfulness. We're also called to vigilance. And we need to recognize that the preaching of the gospel is at stake. One of the grave dangers is we'll underestimate the challenge we face. It's not just about the ability to stand by a conviction or a set of convictions from Scripture. It's the very freedom to preach the gospel.
Amen. We're talking to Dr. Albert Moeller, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Dr. Moeller, thank you for coming on this podcast and speaking to these critical issues. And thank you in advance for coming to Oklahoma and bringing this message of mercy, of truth, and of hope, really.
Well, Brian, thank you. I'm certainly looking forward to being with you in Oklahoma Baptist. I think it's important, and I hope we'll be joined by many who will come.
God bless you. Thank you again, sir.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at baptistmessenger.com.